Welcome back to Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? I am your host, L. Ariel, and we can be found at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S podcast.com. It's been a little while. I miss you guys. Hope you had a great Halloween filled with spookiness and lots of treats. And speaking of treats, a few weeks ago, actually Halloween week, I put up just a super quickie L. Ariel special. It was tips, tricks, and treats for the indie artist, the DIY musician, just some free classes, some information about how to get free tools and resources, or very cheap tools and resources, to help you expand your brand, get yourself out there. I also had the pleasure of interviewing Rob Seals, who is the founder of the Songwriting School of Los Angeles, which is an internationally known gathering place of absolute beginners and Grammy winners and pop stars, all with a love of songwriting. He's also an amazing songwriter and producer, and he's worked with some great artists, so he just shared some great stories and about his journey to Los Angeles to open the Songwriting School. So I hope you check it out. And there's about 6 episodes up right now. And we're on all the streaming platforms. We're on iTunes. We're on Google Play. We're on Stitcher. We're on Android. And we're also on SoundCloud. And I'm going to add YouTube. I got to upload the YouTube link. So I will do that, I promise, this week. And I will put the link at the Music Jobs podcast website. So be sure and check that out. Okay, let's get things rolling with my next guest, G. Scott. G is a dancer and choreographer who got his start at the tender age of 17, dancing with the likes of Mariah Carey at the American Music Awards, and things just exploded from there. He has danced and choreographed with Britney Spears, Kelly Rowland, Fifth Harmony, and Beyonce. Yes, that Beyonce. He was also taken under the wing of Madonna Grimes, considered the international queen of fitness, dance, and hip-hop. He's trained and taught at all the prestigious fitness and dance studios around Los Angeles and is a well-known and well-loved figure in the dance community. I have to introduce him with a Beyonce song. It just wouldn't be right otherwise. So here's Baby Boy, the song that G performed with Beyonce on stage in Europe. Baby Boy, you stay on my mind.
I'm doing quite well. How are you?
Good. Thank you for joining me on Hey, How'd You Get That Music Job? And yeah, you are my first dancer, so I am, and choreographer too. So I'm really super excited because this is a big part of the music industry. Yeah. And I think that people always think music industry and they just think musician and artist, but it's so much more. And I think particularly dance bring so much more to the world of music. And it's like any award show, there's going to be dancers, you know, like any video, there's going to be dancers, you know. So it's like such a huge partnership in the world of the music industry. So with that being said, I love to kind of pick my guests' brains about where they came from, like how they started out, like what kind of household did you grow up in terms of music exposure, like what was playing on the radio when you were growing up, or what was your first album that you listened to or stuff like that? So whatever you want to share.
Well, first and foremost, as a child, I actually, during my high school years, I lived in California. And at the time of my early teens, I would say at about maybe 14, I particularly myself had just been introduced to the world of dance, which was originally through music. In high school, I don't know if you're familiar with how high schools work, but you can kind of choose your elective kind of sort of thing. Mm-hmm, and I chose music, ultimately thinking that was going to be my end-all, be-all gift. But it turns out I was actually terrible at singing. So I had to move over to something, but I knew that I enjoyed rhythm and I knew that I enjoyed music. So, I took my first dance class. Mind you, at this time I weighed about maybe 430 pounds.
Wow.
So, when I took my first dance class, it was almost like a second nature kind of situation. I felt really comfortable doing the choreography. And mm-hmm. the only thing that kind of held me back at that time was the weight. You know what I mean? So my introduction mm-hmm. to music was definitely in high school and kind of, you know, even at home, you know, my mom and dad had their favorite artists. I know my dad loved Toni Braxton, Whitney Houston. My mother loved Sade. So I grew up very familiar with a lot of the greats already. So, from there, I just kind of decided to jump into what I thought was a natural talent, which was dance.
Now, did you have any training or any, did you go to any sort of dance classes or anything like that before high school?
Before high school, not necessarily, no training. I would say that the only training that I had before high school was really, honestly, looking at music videos on TV and really mimicking the choreography, because as of now, the way of training is so advanced compared to when I was coming up. So essentially, my only form of training at that time was watching the TV and seeing what was currently out and seeing if I could mimic it and learn it.
Which is still like some pretty intensive training when you think about it. It's like that much harder because you just have to like watch the screen over and over and try to learn.
Yes. And this is back in the day when we had VHSs. Do you remember those?
Oh, hell yeah. Hell yeah. So you're like, rewind, play.
Yes, that's exactly what it was. It was a good time. I kind of wish things would revert back to it. But, nonetheless, we've grown as a society, so I'm all for it.
So you're in high school and you start to take dance. Were there any particular teachers that stood out or mentors or other like dancers, choreographers that kind of stood out to you at that time?
Yes. There are a couple, actually, there are quite a few. First and foremost, there are two teachers that stand out to me. One would be Crystal Londres out of Los Angeles High School and Hardy Keith Edwards, also out of Los Angeles High School, who honestly, at this point in my life, I feel like I owe my whole career to them because they really, really saw something in me and believed in me. And I actually booked my first job in high school, and it was Mariah Carey, and I was 17 years old. And I owe that all to Mr. H.K. Edwards, who plugged me in and got me booked. So that was a life-changing experience that I got in high school.
Whoa. So can you walk me through that? Like, what happened? Like, how did this all come about?
Well, I'm not sure as to how I got included in the audition, but what I do remember is I remember I was in homeroom class, and I remember my friend telling me that they're having auditions for Mariah Carey in the, I believe it was our dance room at high school, because I believe they were looking at hiring, they didn't want professional dancers at the time, they wanted high school dancers for the production, and it was actually for the 2000 Dick Clark AMA performance that she performed, Thank God I Found You, with Nas and Joe. So, so basically they went around high schools around the Southern California area and casted about maybe three or four dancers at each school to come up with this huge, huge production for Mariah Carey. So that in itself was really good. But once I got word that there was an audition, I went to the audition, and I made it, and I ended up dancing for Mariah Carey.
That's incredible. Were you intimidated at all, or were you scared, like, or were you just like, I'm going to do this, I'm going to get this?
Well, I mean, when it comes to me specifically, I never was really scared because I know at the end of the day, it was either going to be a yes or a no. So why not just go for it? I'll probably never get the opportunity to audition for her again. Especially, mind you, at this point in my career, I was still a big boy. So for me to get that opportunity and still be plus size was so refreshing to me. And I feel like it kind of mainly helped open the door for people that aren't necessarily in shape or a size zero or in ideal shape. You know what I mean? So that in itself was a huge, huge accomplishment for me directly. So
absolutely. And you think about it too, it's like you had to be twice as good because you had to convince the judges that even though you were a bigger size, you could still move just like the best of them. You know what I mean?
Yeah, totally. And, I I really am glad that I stepped out on faith and really, really did it, because honestly, there are a lot of people out there that think that they're not good enough or that don't think that they look like the ideal dancer, that don't really go for it because of that. And you have to really, really take heed that no one can be a better you than yourself. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
if they're looking for you, the job is yours. You know, mm-hmm. and you have to really mentally know that, so that way you can overcome and you can be the best you that you can be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Exactly. I'm really glad you shared that. So after, where do you go after that? Like, what happens after the AMAs?
After I did the AMAs, I was introduced to my mentor of all times. Her name is Madonna Grimes. She's also my adopted godmother. She adopted me shortly after that process when we were introduced. And from there, I decided to continue doing commercial dance in addition to transitioning my career now to dance fitness, which is somewhere where I felt like I could really give back and somewhere where I could really, really speak upon my own personal experiences to kind of inspire others to use dance as a way to A, get in shape, and B, to enjoy your life while you're dancing, which is the best part of it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So did you feel any pressure to go to, you know, a dance college or a university, or like pursue like a really formal post-high school dance education? Or was that, you know, is that what you worked with Madonna with just intensive dance? Like what was kind of your thinking at that time?
Well, here's the thing. When I was ended up being Madonna's assistant for about maybe 3 or 4 years. Actually, mm-hmm. it was a little bit longer than that. It was about maybe 7 or 8 years. I had assisted her. And in regards to training, she actually, she was trained at Alvin Ailey. And I remember there was an intensive that I went to help assist her on. And one of the benefits of that was, you know, anyone that is a referral or, you know, a relative of the main instructor had access to the training for free. So I took it upon myself to take advantage of it. Long story short, I went to Alvin Ailey, and I'll be very honest, I wasn't the most responsible as far as time is concerned. So I was always late to class, in which case they kind of kicked me out. You know, it was basically, I took about a total of 3 classes, not many at all. But every class, you know, that I attended, I was late. So word of advice, never be late, always be early, and always be on time.
Yeah, but I think there's also something to be said, like, just like education doesn't denote someone's intelligence, like, it, you know, and especially with like modern street dance or urban dance, like you're not going to learn that at a school. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like there's obviously there's it's good to learn the techniques and the fundamentals. But I think that there's, you know, just like musicians who like never went to a music school a day in their lives. And yet, you know, they're like the most incredible, amazing musicians. You know what I mean?
Yeah. The best talent is natural, you know?
Yeah.
And I always do that. And that works in any field and in any artistry, any type of, you know, anything that has to do with the arts, it's definitely, you know, it's great to study and to want to learn and progress and be better. But, you know, it really, really helps if it's something that's, I want to say, God-given. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. And you just have to put in the work, you know, regardless whether it's in school or out, you still just have to put in the work and to develop that God-given gift.
Yep. You already know. Yeah.
So, you're basically like adopted by Madonna, who I should tell our listeners is a big name. Like I'm not even in the dance community and I know who she is. And so, you know, she's your mentor, she's your godmother, and you're working with her, and how did things kind of go from there?
Well, when it comes to working with Madonna, her big focus for me was to build and shape my career to where I wouldn't have as many hangups and or roadblocks within my career as she had had prior from her experience and vast knowledge of the industry. So I got a lot of my training, my physical training from her, my teaching mm-hmm. ability from her. You know, I built a lot of connections also through mm-hmm. her. And it just, it really started with me really getting the weight off first. And then from there, we did a lot of work together on a lot of projects once I was in a lot better shape than me being at 430 pounds.
And that's a hell of an achievement, too. And I assume, though, it was all probably also not just it's not a vanity thing. It's like, you know, obviously for your craft, right?
Yeah. And the one thing that she instilled in me that I feel like still kind of is lacking within my community is the fact that if you're in fitness or if you are in dance fitness, you better look like you're in fitness. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. 'Cause no one wants to learn from, or no one wants to study under someone that is not a product of themselves, if mm-hmm. that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? So that is something that was instilled in me years ago. So that was mm-hmm. a big part of me losing the weight, is that I wanted to physically look the part for anything that was dance-based or fitness-based. And then from there, I just focused on, you know, really, really pursuing my commercial career, which I think one of the biggest gigs I did after that point was Beyonce. We did the European Awards for her, and I believe that was in 2008. We did that. And then from there, it was just, you know, booking small artists here and there. And then really more recently, transitioning my career into dance fitness, which is now my new love and my new passion. And I feel like there's really a need for really, really good dance fitness right now. And that's kind of where my direction is headed.
Okay, but before we go there, we have to do this for the Beehive. So talk about Beyonce, like talk about that experience, like tell us everything.
Okay, so I'll start with the audition process. This was at Millennium Dance Complex in North Hollywood when it was still up and running. Frank Gadsden was the main choreographer and artistic director for the project. And Anthony Burrell was actually one of the assistants that taught the choreography. So basically, long story short, this was a routine that was taught. We all had to learn it, perform it, and then we were cut based on if by chance they were going to keep us or if they're not going to keep us. Mm-hmm. So I happened to make it all the way through. And me mentally at that point in my life, I was like, I'm not good enough to book Beyonce. But, you know, nonetheless, I ended up booking the job. And
wow.
I ended up going to the rehearsals. I met her directly. Super duper sweet woman. I met her rehearsal. They gave us about an hour to really pick up and learn the choreography because it was sectioned. So my section, they only gave us about an hour to learn and perfect. And then they would put it on tape. Came in for the next rehearsal, which was more so staging and blocking. And mm-hmm. then the final rehearsal was the dress rehearsal. So we had about a total of three rehearsals total before we flew out and did the show.
Oh, my God. And where was the show? This was in Europe?
Yeah, this was in Europe.
Wow.
When I tell you, it's probably one of the most amazing experiences I feel like I would ever have in my life. It was incredible. Just the amount of love and the amount of respect that, you know, we got with being on such an inspirational team like Beyonce. Mm-hmm. I've never experienced anything like that. And I've worked with a lot of artists, you know, but mm-hmm. none mm-hmm. like that.
Right. And so was it just like, I'm struggling for words here because I can't even imagine being on sharing a stage with Beyonce. Like what do you think of her as an artist? Just sort of like who she is and knowing her kind of background and everything else. Is she sort of the consummate professional? Is she somebody that like she's earned every cell of her being to be where she's at today? That type of thing.
Yeah. Well, when it comes to Beyonce, 10 years ago was pretty much when she was doing all of the grunt work and all of the hard work that she's now reaping the benefits from today. So
mm-hmm,
I
mm-hmm.
met her at a time when she was really on her grind and she was really,
yep.
really trying to make a name for herself.
Mm-hmm.
This was the first album, which was Dangerously in Love. That's
mm-hmm.
when we did the award ceremony for her. But the one thing that I can say about her is that she is a perfectionist She does not settle. She wants the best quality of the best everything when it comes to her performance. And she's her biggest critic. And I can't do nothing. I can't do anything but respect that and really, really want her to do well. And she's doing quite well because she's the number one artist in all of the U.S., you know? The saying that hard work truly does, you know, pay off, it really did pay off on her behalf.
No, absolutely. And I was just going to ask, did that change your performance or your sort of expectations or the standards that you have for yourself after working with her?
Well, my thing was, is that, you know, when I did work for her, it changed my work ethic in a sense. You know, I just applied her technique and her approach to my own craft. You know what I mean? I can't settle for anything. I must constantly hustle. I must constantly make connections. I must constantly be in the know of what's new and what's current and what's not. You know what I mean? Working with her actually inspired me to get on my game. And that's exactly what I did and am still doing to this day.
And okay, the other performer I want to ask you about, I know you've worked with a lot of performers, but Brittany, tell us about Brittany.
Brittany, first off, when I did work for Brittany, it was a very, very small run. And it was, I didn't interact with Brittany a lot. And I wish that I would have, because I feel like that would have been another connection made, but she's somebody that was never available, you know. For example, and I'll compare both Brittany and Beyonce to each other in the instance of Beyonce had her hand in everything. She knew, she did everything. She made the final decisions. Brittany kind of took a step back and let her team do everything, you know. In that experience, I just feel like it wasn't as genuine as, say, a Beyonce moment. You know what I mean? Because it's not as authentic, because none of what we're seeing is a reflection of you. It's a reflection of your team, which is great, but, you know, it lacks a little bit of the authenticity. But the experience as a whole was amazing. I came in and I helped choreograph a section. It was for the residency in Vegas. And then I basically just helped clean choreography and set new choreography to, I think it was two of her songs that I did. I'm not sure if they use the same choreography, but I know they used the first.
Yeah, and that's an iconic show. I mean, everybody I know essentially who's seen Brittany has gone to the Vegas show. So it's a pretty iconic show. And, you know, it's interesting too what you said comparing the two artists. And again, it's like much love to both of them and respect to both of them. But I think as a music fan that I am, I can see that very clearly. I can see that difference. I can see that Beyonce has a hand in everything and is very much a perfectionist, and that Brittany is kind of a product of the people that she has around her. And you can tell when she has a good team around her, you can tell. And when she has a not so good team around her, you can tell. You know what I mean?
You know, and that's the thing, you know, I love authenticity. I love when an artist knows what they want, how they see it. I want to be able to help bring their vision to life. You know what I mean? Because that's what a choreographer does. A choreographer takes, say, a general idea that someone may have and expands it and makes it the best that it can possibly be. That's the primary job of a choreographer, aside from coming up with the steps. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's about the bigger picture, you know?
Yeah.
I want to be able to say, hey, I choreographed that amazing piece that you see before you. And it's so much more than just the choreography that we have to deal with. And that in itself makes the show. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And I think it's similar to musicians, though, too, that there's like this fork in the road where you either decide you're going to look like everybody else, or you're going to forge your own path, you know. And for musicians, it's like, I'm going to sound like Rihanna, or I'm going to sound like Taylor Swift. And maybe for dance choreo, it's similar in that I'm just going to do a choreo that is mainstream, that's accepted, that I know people like, that's safe, versus like, I'm going to push the envelope. I'm going to try something like really risky or something that hasn't been seen before. And that can be really scary. But again, it's about, you know, following your truth. And like you said, that authenticity, which again, especially at first, can be very difficult to produce, because again, people are not, it's going to take a while for people to be won over. Like, people like to play it safe. Do you know what I mean?
Of course. Totally.
So how do you step through that? Like, how do you go towards that risk, towards that authenticity? Like, what guides you?
Well, I just try to get a sense of where my artist comes from and what it is that they want displayed on stage. And mm-hmm. a lot of it comes from speaking to the artist directly. And then a lot of it, in Brittany's case, was talking to Kevin and Marcel and seeing what it was that she wanted to bring forth on stage. Because when you think of Brittany, you think of choreography, you think of, you know, a huge, huge production and a performance and a snake even, you know what I mean? So you just got to really know and get an idea of what it is that's wanted and needed, and then you just try to do your best to bring that to life.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's great. So moving from that, now you're on your own career path trajectory, and let's talk about the dance fitness thing and about, you know, sort of touching people's lives directly. Let's get into that. Do you want to just talk about what you're doing right now? And you know, you basically, yeah, sure. you're dancing all over LA, basically.
Pretty much, yes. So now my current, I guess, day-to-day lifestyle consists of personal training and teaching at a wide array of places. Mm-hmm. Some studios that I'm currently at are LA Dance Fit, which is located in Westwood. More Dancing, which is in Brentwood. I'm also at Gold's Gym in Venice, which is in Venice, of course. I'm at Crunch Gym, which is in West Hollywood and in Burbank. And I think that covers it for now. And then, of course, I'm on the sublist at Your Neighborhood Studio, which is in Culver City, and I cover some classes there if need be. But yeah, that's pretty much what my life is. I've really kind of switched and turned my life around to cater to people that really, really want to change their bodies and really, really want the help that, you know, you wouldn't necessarily get from somebody that doesn't have a dance background. You know what I mean? I always incorporate dance within my weight loss program so that people can enjoy the process, because it doesn't have to be grueling. You know what I mean? It doesn't have to be grueling. It can be an enjoyable process. You just got to be smart as to how you incorporate certain elements.
Right, right. And I think I have to say, it really is being of service, though, too, because, you know, you've gone from this, like, insanely glamorous, very high-profile world to this world where, you know, it's people that this is it. This is their only exposure to dance and art and music. And there's a lot of feelings of, like, you know, inadequacy, or I can't do this, or, you know, this is too hard, that type of thing. And I think it really does provide this amazing service to be like, no, you know what? You can actually do this, you know?
Yeah.
And again, just sort of touching ordinary people's lives versus the Illuminati. Do you know what I mean?
You're right. And, you know, for me, I feel like since I'm in my early 30s now, I'm 33, it's really time to really shift my career and really, really start to make my mark, because at the end of the day, all of the experience that you have with artists are just that. They're experiences, and they're not really life-changing, and that's kind of where I'm realizing that my niche is. I really do have the gift to really inspire and really change people's lives, and that's kind of why I decided to go the route that I'm at now, because I really, really want to inspire people, because it took someone like Madonna to inspire me, and now I am, you know, where I'm at now, you know what I mean, which is at a place of peace, and I'm at a place of productivity where everything that I touch should be either a reflection of being inspired or in the process of being inspired.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're paying it forward. And like I said, I think it's a very admirable and noble thing, because again, you're going into communities and people's lives where, again, they just don't have this type of experience or exposure. You know, this is this is not something that they have come into contact with. So you're introducing them to this whole different world. And, you know, I've been lucky enough to experience your classes, and I can see the evolution, you know what I mean? With the just people coming every week and just seeing the change in them and the way they move, and they, you know, moving from that like kind of tight, tense, like self-conscious to like completely uninhibited, you know, and just like natural, authentic, joyful movement, you know, again, which is just, it's amazing to visualize, you know?
Yeah. And it's for me, it's very big to make sure that people know that they're welcome and to make sure that people are really appreciated and making sure that they feel comfortable, because dance is a very vulnerable place. And, you know, for someone to come into a class that they've never taken before, that's intimidating, you know? Mm-hmm. And my job is to make every single person feel special. And at the end of the day, I want to make friends with everyone that chooses to spend an hour with me a week. You know what I mean? Why not? That's a very small price to pay for someone that took an hour out of their life to come and experience your class. That is by all means one of the biggest compliments that anyone can ever give you. So when things like my birthday come up, I definitely don't mind going to teach a class on my birthday, because it's what I love to do. Why not?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that shines through. That shines through. And the other thing I would say to listeners, you know, dance is, I personally think, I mean, obviously there's all different kinds of music, right? But anything that's kind of along the lines of like pop, dance, R&B, hip hop, that type of music, if you're going to create that kind of music, I personally think that taking dance is essential, because then you see, it's like taking your movie to an audience and seeing what they actually laugh at or what they react to or what they warm to. Because if you take a track to a dance class and then you see, oh my God, this is this beat, like they're having a lot of trouble with the transition from the verse to the chorus, or this isn't, you know what I mean? It's like a finely tuned translation of a song. You know, it's like you literally like take the song apart in nuts and bolts and the beat and, you know, the change and this and that. And it's like, and how it works. And I just think that musicians can learn so much from dance in that respect. Don't you think?
Of course, totally. When it comes to artists really taking into consideration what the arrangement of a song actually is, there's so many components that... Yep. You can learn from and listen to. And the one thing that I've learned is, as a choreographer, I've been taught to listen to the not obvious component of a song.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? My job is to make you hear something in that song that you wouldn't have heard before unless it was brought out through the choreography.
Absolutely.
That's what makes a really good choreographer. It's someone who can identify detail without necessarily saying what the differentiator is.
Yeah.
If I can see the differentiator through movement, then my job is done. Because without that movement, you wouldn't have been able to identify that sound was even there.
Yeah. No, absolutely. And there's been times where I've heard, you know, a track has come out, like say a hip hop track, and I'm like thinking to myself, oh my God, this is so like simple and sparse and it's kind of boring. And then I see a choreograph to it and I'm like, holy shit. Like it just completely changes my perception of the song, because the choreographer has brought out things in the music, just like you were talking about, that I didn't hear. I didn't hear when I first listened to the track. And then when I literally, you give me the ability to actually see the track in action, right? And I see it moving and I'm like, holy shit, this track is amazing. And I didn't hear it. I had to see it.
Yeah. It's amazing what choreography will do.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So I salute you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yeah. So tell me, just to wrap up, so I don't take up too much of your time, but tell me what's coming down the pipe for you. I know you've got some personal goals that you've set, if you care to share them, that type of thing.
Of course. Well, as of right now, my classes are a very big thing and are very dear to me. I currently teach at LA Dance Fit. That is on Tuesday at 6:30 p.m. and Thursday at 9 a.m. I'm at Ghost Gym in Venice on Wednesday evenings at 7 o'clock p.m. Crunch Gym is Thursday at 7:30 p.m. And then in regards to projects, I'm actually working on a TV show, which is going to be airing on the Go 90 app in January. The name of the show is called Dance Your Ass Off.
That's so cool.
Yes. And the concept of that show is basically, it's a combination of So You Think You Can Dance and The Biggest Loser. You've got 12 contestants that are considered to be obese, and they each compete on a weekly challenge. And the challenges consist of basically you have a choreography challenge, and then you also have a weight loss challenge. So The more weight you lose on a weekly basis, the more acceptable you are to moving on to the next round, in a sense. So they combine the scores from your performance and your weight loss to formulate who the bottom two contestants for that week will be. After they've found out who the two components of the bottom two are, they will then go head-to-head on a freestyle challenge, and then you vote and see who it is that goes home. So I'm really, really excited about that project. Yeah, and then that's pretty much it. I got a couple of dance workout DVDs that I'm planning in the future, in January, actually. And then I also have my concept video, Next Caller, which will also be launching in January as well. So look out for that.
Can you explain that, what that is?
Oh, a concept video? A concept video is basically where you take a song, you choreograph to it, you film it, you put it on camera, and it should look almost like a music video in a sense. So you take an idea, you take something fun, you put it with the actual song to formulate this wonderful visual so that it enhances your choreography, and that's pretty much what a concept video is.
Okay, cool. So we'll look forward to that. That's so great. Well, G, thank you again for making the time to talk with us about Beyonce and Britney and all that amazing stuff. And it's just been such a gift, and I'm very grateful to be able to experience your knowledge and your incredible talents firsthand. So thank you again.
No problem. Thank you so much for having me.
I hope you enjoyed that interview with G. Scott, the one and only G. Scott, such a warm, generous, inspiring individual who also just happens to be an incredible choreographer and dancer. He is revamping his website, so the best place to reach him is at Facebook, actually. Just go to his Facebook page, G-E-E Scott, and you can track his progress with his fitness DVDs, with his concept videos, and with this new TV show coming out, Dance Your Ass Off. So that's week number 7 in the bag. I hope you enjoyed it. Again, you can check out all our other episodes at musicjobspodcast.com. That's musicjobs with an S, podcast.com. If you like us, if you really, really like us, please share, tell your friends, please subscribe. If you want to check out my musical mutterings, you can check out my website at lariel.com. That's lariel.com. And on social media, I'm at lariel music. Take good care and remember to keep on hustling, pursue that dream, don't give up.